There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we get started with today's episode of Bench with Bubba, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, Draft. If you love fantasy baseball, then you need to try our new favorite app called Draft. It's daily fantasy baseball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you play live snake drafts with other people just like in your season-long league. Drafts last just for one night. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire, just set it and forget it. And the best part, you play for cold, hard cash and get paid out the next day. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. Trust me, I love playing drafts. I play golf, I play NFL, basketball. You can play them head-to-head, three-man, six-man. There's running leagues. You win one night, it keeps going for four, five, six nights. You can play a dream team. There's all kinds of great ways to play draft, and you can join me today. Just search Draft in your app store or play right from your computer on draft.com. And when you enter promo code SDSports, you got to enter the promo code SDSports. You get a free entry into a real money baseball draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code SDSports. That's right. Play in a real money game for free just for using the promo code SDSports when you make your first deposit. Just again, search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and enter the promo code SDSports. Now to this week's edition of Benched with Bubba. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Benched with Bubba, episode 84. Going to recap this past weekend's MLB action and its relevance to your fantasy baseball lineups. In order to do so, joined by a special guest. You can check him out on Baseball HQ. He's on Twitter at Brant Chesser. Brant, how we doing, man?
Pretty well. How about you?
Very, very good. I appreciate you joining me tonight. It's going to be fun. We actually had real baseball to watch over the weekend. It's been pretty darn nice.
Yes, it has been.
Let's get into some, you know, everyone's concerned even through spring training, you know, pitchers' velocity up, velocity down. Let's just talk about guys that had good weekends or bad weekends. Let's start with the good. Noah Syndergaard went out there, absolutely dealt on opening day. It's kind of what we expected. The velocity was up there for a lot of the games. Do you ever have any concern with a guy like Noah Syndergaard's injury history and his high velocity?
I do have some concern. I mean, I don't have any shares this year, but I saw he was touching 98 this weekend. And with all the sliders that he throws, it concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, no, that was my main concern. You know, he goes six innings. He gives up four runs, but he was very good. The run kind of two homers, but all in all got the job done. So I just want something I wanted to keep an eye on there. Let's talk about a guy that you dug in on in a pitch sequence, his teammate, Jacob DeGrom, who was absolutely electric in his first start of the year. What'd you pick up on DeGrom?
On DeGrom, he's talking 2 weeks ago how he wanted to throw more changeups, and he did. He threw mostly four-seamers, but then he threw 21 changeups, which was the second most compared to the fourth most used pitch last year. And 7 Ks, one walk. Hey, it worked out pretty well. And all the balls in play on his changeup were grounders. So,
yeah.
Bodes well for him.
It was very good to see because, you know, coming into the spring, he had the back issues and you're wondering where he was. And he's kind of been the only reliable guy in that Met rotation. So, if, like you said, if he can work that changeup up more, that's going to be just a tremendous arsenal he can put together there. So, something to definitely keep an eye on. Indeed. Let's talk about a guy that was outstanding on Sunday in Baltimore, going the distance or nearly going the distance. No, he finished it out. Complete game, shutout, 3 hits, 6 strikeouts against the Baltimore. I was talking about Jose Berrios. Now, some might, you know, wonder about Chancisco's bump, but that's another story for another day. What's your takeaway from Berrios here? Because, you know, A, you don't see a lot of complete game shutouts to start the season, and B, didn't see as much at all with him in the past.
No, I was impressed. Unfortunately, I don't have any shares of him, but like 95 to 100, those are the ADP coming into draft season. Owners have to be ecstatic after first start and complete game. And I've seen some people saying he may have a Severino-like rise this year.
Well, that, and that's a great comparison there because, you know, Jose Berrios is a guy that top prospect in the Twin system forever, and he has never seemed to be able to put it together in the bigs. He was always really good in the minors. And to see an opening day start like that has to leave the Twins and their fantasy owners feeling very, very happy about things.
For sure.
Let's talk about a guy. He's probably one of the most talked about fantasy players coming into the season. You know, is he going to bat? Is he going to hit? How each league is going to handle him? So on and so forth. Well, the hitting thing, we've tempered expectations on as of late. Pitching, he still looked great in the spring. He came out yesterday in Oakland and looks fantastic. We're talking Shohei Ohtani. Outside of one hanging slider to Chapman, who will make a lot of pitchers pay, was electric. What's your thoughts on Ohtani's first start?
Yeah, besides the slider and a couple other pitches, I mean, for the most part, he was hitting his spots, which you like to see. And the velo was back up again. I mean, I saw him hitting 99. So Ohtani owners have to be happy. And like you said, besides the Chapman mistake, he pitched well.
Yeah, he pitched really well. It was weird because the first inning velocity was high, and the second inning when he gave up the homer, his velocity was the lowest it was the whole game, and then he picked it back up, went 6 strong, lots to like there. He had that splitter, and it was just filthy, absolutely filthy. I heard he even hit triple digits a couple times. So things we didn't see a lot of in spring because they were worried about his velocity in spring, so that's very, very good to see. Let's talk Baltimore Orioles here. We won't talk about the bad till later, but Dylan Bundy came out there and threw 7 shutout innings against Minnesota. 7 strikeouts. Absolutely great to see him starting off kind of where he finished the second half last year. What's your kind of expectations and thoughts on Bundy this year?
Well, we at HQ, I mean, we're high on Bundy coming into the year and pushed him up a lot of draft boards. And it was nice to see, you know, confirmation, a guy on the rise. And like you said, continuing that second half run.
Yeah, because he definitely – he had a tale of two seasons last year, and the strikeouts showed up late in the season. And that's the one thing I was really curious about, because even in the first half, he would be okay, but he wouldn't strike anybody out. The fact he was getting those strikeouts was great to see going forward. Let's talk about another guy who had a good second half last year, and he picked up 6 shutout innings. He did have 5 walks, kind of always an issue with him, but 6 strikeouts. Kyle Gibson of the Twins against that Baltimore Orioles team. Are you a believer in Kyle Gibson, or are you just thinking, nah, I don't think so?
Oh, man, I've been on that train ride before, and it's not pretty.
Yeah.
I just noticed that hitters had a 992 OPS against his four-seamer last year. And but on in his first start, he looked good. I noticed that on his four-seamer, he threw 32 of them, didn't get any swinging strikes, but he got a lot of infield pop-ups. Like half of them stayed in the infield. So, I mean, that's safe if you're – buying Kyle Gibson, and then his curveball is his best weapon, obviously, at 27% swinging strike rate. So,
yeah, no, he definitely had those working. And it's weird because, you know, going through the FAB process on Sundays, I have him in a couple of deep leagues, just like last round picks, but he's on a ton of waiver wires right now. Is this a guy you'd be willing to go take a chance on?
In a 15-team mix, I mean, if I need a pitching, I'd throw a dart at him.
Okay, but 15, 12ers, you'll probably sit there and wait a little longer.
Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like I said, I got him in the deep leagues late. I have him in some other kind of weirdish dynasty formats where I got him really cheap. But, yeah, it's tough to kind of jump out there with all the options. It's one thing we talked about on one of my shows going into the season. The difference between a 12-team and a 15-team league is insane. Like the talent pool is – it's so much deep. Like it's just really weird. You draft a 12-team a 12-team league team like after you've done two or three 15 teams, and you just – it's amazing what your team looks like.
Well, yeah, it's like an all-star team.
Yeah, you feel so much different about your roster. You feel all grimy and dirty with your 15-team, and then the 12-team, you're like, wow, that was fun. But talk about fun. I think it was Friday night. I tuned in. Seattle's on TV on MLB Network late at night. And King Felix making another opening day start. And he looked like the King Felix of old. As close to what I've seen in a long time. 5 1/3, 2 hits, 2 walks, no runs, 4 strikeouts. He had his pitches working. He was changing speeds and location. I have a hard time buying into him this year. Are you able to take the jump on Felix for maybe one more hurrah? Or is this kind of like, hey, he made it work tonight, but don't get your hopes up?
I'm with you on that. I mean, he had the curveball and changeup working against the Indians. That's why I noticed he got good swing strike rate on both. But I know a couple guys on Twitter were high on Felix. He's like a 4-5 coming into the year. He looked better than that on Friday. But yeah, I'm not fully buying in. What about you?
No, it's so hard. In certain drafts, when you fall far enough, I'd sit there and be like, okay, I'll give it a chance here because if worst comes to worst, I can drop him and, you know, make some moves. But I think he's pretty much picked in every league. He's not just sitting around on a waiver wire. So if you didn't get him in the draft, you're done. I'll keep my eye on him, but it's hard for me to see me, like, trading for him or anything. I hope he does. He's fun to watch, but I don't it's hard to see.
Yeah, it's good to see him as old itself again.
Yeah, because that game, Liprock, like, you know, you got Ichiro starting, you got Felix throwing great. It was, you know, the Mariners circa 2010 or something out there. let's talk Jake Odorizzi, one of the big pieces the Twins picked up. Two Twins pitchers on the good list. This is crazy. picked him up from the Rays. How times have changed. Picked him up from the Rays, and if you follow Jason Collette, which I'm pretty sure you do and most people on the list of the show do, he's a big pitching guru, and he's a big Rays guru. And he kept mentioning in Odorizzi's first start where he went 6 shutout innings, 7 strikeouts, which for Odorizzi is insane. And one of the big reasons is he developed a curveball and used it a lot. That changed my mind. So I picked him up in Fab this week in one of the leagues. What's your thoughts on Odorizzi this year?
I like him. Like you, I worry about those walks in the second half of last year. And if he can keep those walks down, I'm all over him, right? That first pitch strike rate dipped a bit. If he could get back to where he was before, like just under 3 walks a 9 instead of like 3.5. I mean, the second half was closer to 5, I think 4.8. So, yeah, with the walks, I'm all in. And Minnesota, that division we talk about all offseason, I like the most of the lineups they're going to face in the AL Central.
Yeah, that's why I had my eye on Odorizzi. I didn't really pick him up anywhere because when I draft my pitchers, I like the K upside. And Odorizzi never really brought the K upside to the table. He's more of a contact guy. Kind of, to me, a little more K upside than like Lance Lynn. So they're very similar. Now they're teammates, of course. But, you know, you mentioned the ballparks he pitches in, the lineups he faces. Those are all ideal. And seeing what he did there in a very tough ballpark in Camden Yards was outstanding. So, definitely keeping an eye on that. And like I said, grab them once. Let's see if we can do it again. Let's talk about some rough pitching on weekend. And again, we're not going to hit on everybody on the good and the bad. There's tons of that. But let's talk about some standouts. The guy that was going around top of my head, 100th overall, 100 to 120 or so in most drafts, Luis Castillo, young flamethrower for the Reds. Great season last year, as everybody knows. He struggled, giving up 6 runs in 5 innings, 2 homers. Did strike out 6, which is great to see. I'm just going to say, hey, it was a rough start. He faced the Nationals in a tough ballpark. What's your thoughts on Castillo?
The same. The first, he was pounding the zone, like you said, led to 6 strikeouts. Velocity was down just a tick, about 96 overall, but that doesn't concern me. He was still getting ground balls and still getting swinging strikes. I'm all in on him. I think he just, face a tough matchup.
when you're you mentioned velocity down, it's going to be a theme with a lot of these guys coming up here. How does like the dip in velocity affect your fantasy outlook on these guys?
Well, Mike Podoposer of Fangraphs was talking about today, and just it doesn't make me jump, add, or drop right away, but it does. You want to monitor it more within the first month. Like, okay, is he going to work out, and is he having problems because of velocity? And a guy like Zach Greinke, that's what I was watching on Saturday. So I was happy when he was hitting 90, 91 and hitting different spots of the zone, especially with the slider.
Yeah, and Greinke's one of those guys. Even last year, we got worried coming into the season, and he figures it out. Some of these guys, they can make it work by just locating, like you said with Greinke. There's other guys that kind of could concern you a bit. Let's talk Yu Darvish. The Cubs had some big boys. We're going to talk about a couple of them. Have rough weekends in Miami, of all places. That lineup doesn't scare many AAA teams, but it got the Cubs. 4 1/3 innings pitched, 5 earned, only struck out 4. What do you think of Darvish's opening weekend?
A little cautious for what they paid him. And like you said, Miami of all places, I just didn't expect him. We'll talk about one later, but him and Quintana together, you expect like both of those guys to, I guess it was naive of me, but to pick up easy wins, right?
No, I played him in DFS thinking, okay, they're worth the price. Like, yeah, they're going to rack up strikeouts, pick up a W, we're going to move on.
Yeah.
But it did not happen. Let's talk about a guy that got beat up, a little home run derby in Kansas City on opening day. Matt Davidson hit 3, Tim Anderson hit 2. They're not all off of Duffy. Duffy only hit 3 of these. But 5 earned and 4 innings pitched, basically the second time through the lineup, they jumped all over him. What's your thoughts on Duffy? Because I didn't take any shares of him this year. I was kind of concerned.
I'm like you. I didn't take any. And then after what we saw on opening day, the velocity down, like some of the others we talked about, down to 91. And more fly balls, even in a favorable park, that doesn't play well.
Yeah, it doesn't play well at all. And it's one of those things, if he gives up a few runs, the offense isn't really going to be there with the Royals either to help him out. So not a good combo. We talked about Dylan Bundy pitching very well in his first start. Let's talk about the other side of this, Mr. Kevin Gausman. And we talked about guys having great second halves and carrying them over. Well, not Kevin Gausman. 4 innings, 6 earned. He did strike out 5, which is nice, but he had 3 home runs to a Twins team, which, you know, they're not a bad offense by any means. It's Camden Yards. But it's like, this is Kevin Gausman. Like, here we go again. The first half is rocky. Are we going to get a good second half? What are you going to do with Gausman? Because every year, you said with Gibson, you know, same story, and you bought into it a few times. It's a rocky ride. I do it with Gausman every year. Is it going to even out, or what are your thoughts on him?
Oh, that's the narrative, is first half, second half, like you said, right? And everybody over and over again. And whether it's luck-based or not, he does have a 5.06 career first half ERA. And I think his second half ERA is about a run and a half lower. I don't know if it takes him a while to warm up. But, I was happy to see the Ks were there. But the home runs in that park scare me. And then, team context, too, if the Orioles get too far behind, are they going to trade away some offense, especially Machado?
And that's a great point right there. Is, you know, people are thinking of the now, what you have to do when you're playing fantasy. But a team like the Orioles, you know, a rough month or two, next team, you know, Machado could be gone. They could be trading, you know, Britton and Brock. There's a lot of pieces that could be, Mossman looks even worse for wear. So very good point there. Here's a guy, I'm just taking it as a rough night, but John Gray, 4 innings pitched, 6 hits, 3 earned, struck out 4 in Arizona. The humidor was quite the joke over the weekend as a whole. I don't know if it was turned on or what was going on, but the ball was still flying out of Arizona. And John Gray was one of the casualties. Didn't give up any homers, but did get hit around pretty hard. What are your thoughts on Gray? Because this guy looks pretty darn good overall.
I like him coming into the year, and I was disappointed the humidor didn't have a bigger effect too, because he gets ground balls, especially in Coors Field. I mean, they were in Arizona, but even at home, Gray makes the pitches to get ground balls. So I like him. I don't necessarily think he's going to jump to ace, but I think he can be a solid 3.
And that's the way I look at it. That's a great point, a solid three, because where he was getting drafted, you got him as your three, and he's like a solid three with upside. You know, he's one of the few guys that has proven so far he can pitch in Colorado. That's why I was kind of surprised by this start in Arizona, but maybe it's just a hiccup to start the season, hopefully, because I do have a few shares of him rolling around. Let's hope so. Another guy that had a – this was a surprise. Carlos Martinez, 4 1/3, 4 earned. He walked 6, striking out 5, but he was walking the world. What's your takeaways from Carlos? Because this has been a problem with him from time to time. When he loses control, it can get ugly quick.
My first thought was a flashback to New York last year, not against the Mets, but against the Yankees, when he had a ton of strikeouts and a ton of walks, and it's like the same thing. So it seems like he just gets in his head and he can't get him out of his own way at times with all the walks. And that slider out of the zone, it didn't seem like anybody was chasing it. So he was throwing a lot, but he couldn't get any bites on it. And then once again, his velo was down just a tick, 94.5, but not too much. But yeah, the sliders out of the zone, I took a note of more than anything.
No, that's a great point, because that's a pitch he needs. That's a strikeout pitch for him. And if he's not locating that, you know, they say all pro hitters can hit a fastball. So there's only so much you're going to be able to do with that. So good point there. James Paxton, good old James Paxton. Talk about a guy that just makes you want him so bad, yet he disappoints you more often than not. Usually because of injury, though. Usually when he's healthy, he's dealing. Another rough start to the year for Mr. Paxton, giving up 6 earned and 4 2/3, 2 home runs, 4 walks. Not ideal. Should we have any concern with James? Like, is he maybe just not going to heal properly and it's just going to be over, or what's the status on him?
That's what I'm curious about. I know we don't put much weight on spring training stats, but he got hit hard in Arizona too. And yes, it's Arizona, but then he returns back to Seattle, doesn't throw many first pitch strikes. So, I mean, in the one start, so it leads to 4 walks. I think it's 42% first pitch strikes. And what scared me more than anything was the no whiffs on his curveball. He got 17% swinging a strike in 2017. Once again, one game, but you got to get hitters swing at a thing.
Yeah, no, that's a big pitcher, and that hammer's got to be working. And I guess the reason I was most concerned is the night before, Felix goes out there and shuts the same offense down, and you're thinking Paxton's going to walk right through this, and not close, not close at all.
No.
Last guy we'll talk about here is, we kind of already mentioned him. Again, couldn't handle that potent Miami Marlins offense. Jose Quintana, 6 innings, 6 hits, 6 earned, 4 walks. And one of the things that got me, only 2 strikeouts. That really stood out to me. I'm actually, like most of these guys, I'm not worried about. I'm kind of concerned about Quintana. What are your thoughts?
Me too. I don't have any shares, but the – once again, velo just down a tick, and like you said, no strikeouts, and the swinging strike rate just dropped tremendously in the first, and like against Miami, only 5% swinging strike rate. So, yeah, I'm concerned just enough to watch it in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Definitely. Let's talk about some of the hot bats to start the weekend. You got Matt Davidson absolutely crushing, you know, 3 homers on opening day overall in the week. Only 7 at-bats, so 4 for 7, but a lot to like there. We know he's not going to be an everyday guy, but, you know, definitely against lefties and occasional starts in a great ballpark. Is Matt Davidson a guy you're looking to get? Because he was pretty much on every waiver wire going into the weekend.
Yeah, I saw it picked up in a lot of leagues. He wasn't on my list, but if you need power, I say add him. I mean, just playing around the low batting average, right? So if your team's power deficient, pick him up.
Definitely. Mitch Haniger of the Seattle Mariners. This is a guy that, you know, had a big year going last year, got banged up a bit. He's off to a hot start, already 2 home runs, hitting .625, 5 for 8. So again, small sample, but he's getting on base. If you're an OBP guy, you're loving his .727. Small sample size, but we saw what he could do last year before he got hurt. Power, some speed. Kind of got overlooked in some drafts. What are you looking at with Mitch Haniger this year?
He did. He fell, right? I like that power speed. I mean, he could give you low 20s home runs, right? And then maybe close to double-digit steals, if not high single-digit steals.
Yep. Yeah, definitely a lot to like there. Now one to that surprised the heck out of me this weekend because I didn't draft him anywhere. I honestly didn't think he'd be ready for opening day. Is Adam Eaton, who absolutely is on fire. He's the named National League Player of the Week today. And coming off of a two-homer weekend, no steals, but I'm not seeing a lot of steals in his future. But 8-for-13, 7 runs scored, lead Nationals. What's your thoughts on Eaton? Because I didn't even see this coming.
Me either. I mean, I like the power-speed combo. Like you said, speed less than it used to be. Coming into the year, everybody knew, like, capable of, like, all right, maybe 15-15. But, wow, we'll talk about maybe later, but moving Turner down to sixth and having Eaton hit leadoff and then Rendon next, and then Eaton goes on a tear with a lot of line drives and hard contact. I know they're resting him tonight, so Turner's going to bat leadoff, but you got to like Eaton's start.
Yeah, it's a great, great start. Let's talk about a guy that you were talking to me about in our DMs, and he hit another home run today in his first home game in Milwaukee. He had a big weekend in San Diego. Lorenzo Cain, he couldn't have had a better start to a new team. What are your thoughts on Lowe Cain?
He looks great. If I know some people are like, oh, Warren, later in the season, if age gets to him, he wears out. But, yeah, right now, if you own shares of him, you got to be happy. And he's running. I mean, the Brewers lead the majors in stolen bases over the last couple of years, but it's always nice to see 3 bags in the first weekend. And those doubles, too.
Yeah, exactly. Those doubles, too. So a lot to like there with Lowe Cain. Last guy I wanted to bring up, and like I said, we could bring up a ton of guys, but let's talk Xander Bogaerts. Disappointing campaign last year, really disappointing. So young, and you figure there'd have to be some bounce back. All the reports were he was injured last year and all, playing really, really well, off to a hot start with 5 doubles, going 8-for-17. What are you thinking? This is a sign of a big season for Xander, or just a good weekend?
I think so. Everybody goes back to the July hit by pitch and how much it affected him in the second half last year, trying to play through it. And once again, just 1 weekend in Tampa, but it definitely looked like that was the case. He was back to his quick handed self and turning on balls pretty easily and put him in the air in the gaps.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely enjoyed what he did this weekend, and hopefully it's a sign of things to come.
We take this brief break from Benched with Bubba to talk to you about RotoWear. It's one of the best quality shirts in the industry. When I mean industry, all the clothing industry, the fantasy sports industry, because people are rocking it. They're loving it. You're seeing it in a lot of big outlets now. No other brand can compete with RotoWear in terms of quality. They're premium blend fabric, super soft, comfortable, athletic fit shirts. They specialize with a special printing process. The design is part of the shirt. Literally, it is dyed and bleached into the fabric. No thick ink. There's over 30 different designs right now. It's just crazy all the stuff they have coming out, and there's more and more stuff every time you turn your head. They have fantasy football, baseball, hockey, basketball, some really cool DFS ones, but everything's great. They have men's, women's, and kids. Check them all out. Go to rotowear.com, rotowear.com. Check them out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at RotoWear. But the cool part, guys, if you use the promo code DEGENS, DEGENS, you get 20% off your order. Again, promo code DEGENS, DEGENS. Check their site out. Check them Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. They're always giving away free shirts. And then when you go to purchase the ones you want for you, your loved ones, your friends, your family, whatever, use promo code DEGENS, DEGENS, for 20% off your order. Now back to this week's episode of Benched with Bubba.
Let's talk about a couple more things here. It's kind of storyline-based. Over the weekend, we saw a bunch of interesting lineups come out that, you know, we might not have put into play when we were planning our teams. And one that stood out to me, we'll get to some base dealer guys here, but just a quick thoughts on these. Chris Davis leading off for the Baltimore Orioles, you know, maybe in OBP league, this has an even bigger impact. But what does him leading off give you any more reason to take a chance on him? Or are you just like, you know what, it's still Chris Davis and I don't want to deal with it?
Well, everything has a price, right? If you're an OBP league, yeah. I mean, so it may help you out. Maybe you receive a few less ribbies, right, throughout the year with him leading off. But the power is real, right? You just got to plan around some of the batting average risk.
No doubt about it. Let's talk about some of these base stealers that seem to be on the topics of conversation on Twitter throughout the weekend. You already hinted at Trey Turner. He's leading off tonight with Adam Eaton getting some rest. But, you know, Trey Turner playing batting sixth to start the year. And honestly, you know, people are like, oh, it's just for a little while when Murphy's out. And I don't see why they'd move him. The lineup in front of him stays. Murphy takes Howie Kendrick's spot. I don't see how that changes anything. Trey Turner batting sixth, how does that affect your thought on his value as return this season?
Well, I wonder, especially if you took him at third or fourth overall, like how much is that going to cut into his steals, right? And with a loaded lineup in front of him, if they're on base, is he going to lose a bunch of chances because of that? And Rendon's been hitting well out of the gate, second, so it doesn't look like he's going to move down. So yeah, I'm curious to see what he does tonight. I don't think they're going to take Eaton out of leadoff, but I mean. Yeah, he's going to lose some value, I think.
Yeah, because I had him kind of as my third overall guy this year coming into the season, thinking he's going to lead off. And I know it's risky because he hasn't shown he can play a full year. But to me, as always, the guy, if he's leading off playing a full season, he can be pretty darn towards the top of all your fantasy, your rankings and everything. But this, to me, is quite alarming. And I'm glad I somehow lucked out of not having to deal with that this year.
Especially at that price.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because like, I got lucky. I was either second, it seemed like, in every draft, or like 12th or 13th. So I never had to worry about the Trey Turner conundrum. Never came into play. Johnny VR came into play for me, though, because I was huge on him last year, and that didn't work out so well, as many know. But I figured where he's getting drafted now, kind of that everybody has a price thing you're talking about. I bought back in, and now he's already in a platoon. After all the talks about him playing regularly, he's platooning. Do you think he's either A, going to get out of the platoon, or B, is he worth hanging on to in a platoon? Does he still have that value?
That's a good question because once again, it's all in his legs, like you said, right? If you got him at 230, 250 overall, speed dart throw, and a 12 teamer, I'd probably say not, right? 15, you maybe wait a week or two, see if you can get some more ABs, see what happens.
That's kind of what I'm thinking because, you know, we said it with Lokane and stuff. The Brewers are going to run, and that's a beautiful thing. So if he plays four, maybe five games a week, well, we got a shot to at least get some value in a 15. And a 12, it's tough because that player pool is so much deeper there. Another guy, Byron Buxton, he's dropped down. He's batting eighth now. We thought after that second half last year he would skyrocket, and people were jumping all over him. I don't have any shares this year, but I'm still a big fan of Buxton. This definitely cuts into his value, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on Buxton after just, I know all this is speculation because it's so early in the year, but these are some interesting changes.
Yeah, they are. I mean, the same thing. Like, how much does that cut his value? I'm not exactly sure, but do we see the 30, 35 stolen bases or more that everybody's predicting, not to mention 15, 20 homers? I know he got out to a slow start, but he did well yesterday, right?
Yes. Yes, he did. I think his numbers will be okay, but I think what everybody expected, top of the order, so you're going to get more at bats, and it just makes him even better. Billy Hamilton, talk about a guy that everyone was high on. You know, he's one of those guys like a Trey Turner that you draft going, okay, I get him. I don't have to worry about stolen bases anymore. I pretty much have that figured out. If you draft the Billy Hamilton right about now, you can't be feeling too good about life. He's batting ninth and/or not playing, he's getting platooned in center field. That says a lot about the way they finally think about his offense. How concerned are you with Billy Hamilton?
If I were a Hamilton owner, I would be very concerned. I mean, Brian Price obviously likes Winker, and who wouldn't? He has a better hit tool leading off than Hamilton, and you're not going to put a guy with a sub 300 on base percentage leading off. I don't care how fast he is, right? And I still wonder, there's rumored all the trade talks with Hamilton in an offseason. Like, would they move him to somebody who needs a defensive guy with speed? I'm not saying they would, but as long as he stays with the Reds, I'd be concerned at the end of that lineup.
Yeah, I'm concerned because I'm wondering if there's more to it. We know his offense isn't great. We get it. But it's one of those things. He's so darn fast. Like, just put the ball on the ground, work with him, figure something out. Do the opposite of launch angle development. Like, figure something out with this guy. And they tried trading him to the Giants in the offseason, my team. And that, I was really all for it. And now I'm starting to think maybe we dodged a bullet here. But
Last guy I want to ask you about is another speedster. Devastating news. Lionel DeShields Jr. breaks his hamate bone, going to the DL for, I think, 6 to 8 weeks. Big, big loss here. How, if you just had to think off the top of your head here, how do you go about replacing that in your lineups?
Oh, that's a good question, because he's in our one of our main event teams in FPC, and it hurt. So I don't think we can replace him. We're just going to piecemeal together week by week, right? And look at matchups, and it's hard to find that speed. And with all the helium that he had in March, I mean, you didn't pay cheap for him anymore either.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's definitely one of the biggest helium guys in baseball, you know, because your fingers on the pulse throughout the whole offseason. So you saw the change from, you know, 300s or later, and he ends up almost top 120 come
the 120, final weekend. 130. Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy, the jump. Yeah. Cause, you know, I'm talking to guys on podcasts like with Bloomfield and stuff going, okay, yeah, this is good. And this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, there goes that sleeper idea.
Yeah, 220, I was all over him, right? And then he kept going up in the last month. I'm like, whoa.
Exactly. Totally agree there. Last kind of storyline here I want to mention, Gabe Kapler. If you're a Phillies fan around the world, you can't be thrilled with the opening weekend, just tactics involved. Your bullpen might get used more than anybody in baseball, bringing guys in without warming them up to begin with. sitting Odubel Herrera opening game. There's so many things that just confused. How do you approach the Phillies right now if you're a fantasy owner? Because, got Nola and those guys getting pulled so early. You don't know who's going to start, even if it's a good matchup for them. It's an odd situation.
It is very odd. And I'm in Pennsylvania for the next 6 months for the baseball season. And the Philly fans are not happy. Let's put that just that lightly. I've been called the worst manager, when I'm fired. When I saw Nola taken out of 68 pitches too, and Freeman's coming up, like, I understand third time in the order and you're worried, analytics tell you this, but it's Aaron Nola.
Exactly.
Right. And he was dealing. And then after the game, Freddie Freeman says, we are so happy to see Nola leave the game. So that psychology on the other team, they were defeated. I mean, and he comes out and the Braves have new life.
Yeah, it made no sense, the Nola one. Like, if you want to tell me, okay, Ben Lively, sure, go for it. That makes all the sense in the world. But this made no sense. And I think it was the Friday night game or whatever I'm watching, and he's not even doing righty-lefty matchups. He's bringing in things that don't make sense when it comes to the – like, it was just really, really strange watching Kapler's first weekend. Couple last questions I have for you, just based on some things we were talking about. With the – big first week in the waiver wires taken care of, maybe to some their second weekend, because, you know, you're in your NFBCs and you're ahead of the game last weekend type things. How do you approach kind of, and I asked Justin Mason this on the last pod, how do you approach this early season, you know, hot starts, you only have so much money in fab. How do you approach spending money?
Balance. Of course, each team's a little different, right? So if you got five injuries and you had the rash of injuries at catcher, I mean, unfortunately, you're fabbing two catchers and then maybe a bullpen guy if you had Melanson. I mean, you may chunk down. I mean, Hunter Strickland was going for $300 or more fab in a $1,000 fab league, but 30% of your fab budget, I mean, or more.
Yeah, I got him in the Great Fantasy Invitational. I fabbed him because I am a Melanson owner, and I had another reliever that I kind of looked for just innings, not saves. He went down. So I went all in. I went 25%, went 250, and I got him. But I saw some leagues in that league, he went higher. I was listening to the RotoWire podcast today, and I think it was Jeff Erickson saying he went from 750-ish in an NFBC main event league.
Wow.
I was like, okay, that made me feel a lot better about my 250, because I felt bad going for that, but I'm like, I need this badly right now. Like, I need this. 750, I wouldn't have been able to sleep.
No.
Because you're so hamstrung now for the rest of the year. At least I saw 75% of my budget. I can finagle things. Like, crazy.
Yeah, I don't going back to, I don't like to save all till the end, because then you need players now. So, once again, don't spend it all now, but balance it out too, because you know injury is going to continue happening.
Well, and that's one of my biggest reasons why I kind of, at least to make myself feel better, justified spending the big money.
if I spend more now, at least I get a full season, barring injury. If I have to spend that 250 in September, I get like 3 weeks. And to me, that's a big difference, given you never know how it affects your team until the end. We get all that. But I got to speculate. I hate doing it on closers, for one, though. I hate doing it on closers because that always changes. But we'll leave it at that. What do you have coming up, or what are you working on these days over at Baseball HQ?
Daily matchups, so DFS stuff on Fridays, and then on Tuesdays, American League Facts Flukes, which I'll tweet out about tomorrow again, just looking for names. So giving a deeper dive into five guys every week, and tomorrow's column, I'll look at like Josh Tomlins and Aledmys Diaz's of the world.
No, and that's why I love Baseball HQ puts out a lot of great stuff. There's a lot, like I always tell you, there's a lot of great sites. It just depends, you know, everyone's got a taste for their own thing. But I like kind of the angle a lot of your guys use to write their articles and do their thing. So it's a great, great product. Remember to check out Brant on Twitter at Brant Chesser and all his work over at Baseball HQ. Brant, it's been a privilege, my friend. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. Good luck.
No problem. Season. You as well. And we'll be chatting like we usually do. But until then, everybody, Bench with Bubba, episode 84 in the books. Catch you guys next time.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.